You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now, you're multitasking. But what if you could also be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. So multitask right now. Get your quote now at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dear listener, please close your eyes for this movie theater meditation brought to you by Fandango. Breathe in. Smell the fresh popcorn. Now exhale. Open your eyes and proceed to the best seats in the house you reserved on Fandango. Recline. Now, download the free Fandango app for movie times, tickets, and seats at your favorite theaters. Fandango. It's your ticket to the movies.
Oh, look at that big lefty quarterback, Boomer.
Boomer Sison rolling right,
damn,
throwing left.
He's slow, I know that. But look at the receiver.
And there slower. It is.
Athlete, though. Adjusted the throw there. Wow.
Do you remember that?
Oh, my goodness.
Nice job, man. When what were you weighing right there, you
probably
think?
Probably about 295.
295?
You know, right. When people ask me about most memorable, you have your team most memorable things in the NFL, but that's probably one of the most memorable individual plays. We're down 7, 42 seconds left. All Cleveland has to do is punt it. We're backed up, no timeouts. Rodney Holman goes through, blocks it. We go down, we get a pass interference on the 1 yard line.
Wow.
So we have one play, 7 seconds, no timeout.
Right.
Rookie quarterback.
Yeah.
First two guys are hurt, so Boomer's in there. Rookie head coach.
Oh my gosh.
That's the first week he put me at a eligible receiver. And he called that play. I said, this guy didn't want to coach in the NFL very long. I said, well, I got to catch it. I'm going to walk home from Cleveland. So I catch it, kick the extra point, tie it up, and we go in overtime to win the game.
Wow.
It's just amazing.
Look at you.
You had 7 athlete catches and 4 touchdown receptions in your career. Where did that skill set originate? How did you develop that when you're always blocking and not running pass routes and catching passes?
I'm glad you didn't mention average per catch. Let's stay away from that. You know, a lot of people don't know. Baseball was my first love.
Wow.
I played third base from 8 years old through senior in high school.
Wow, okay.
I was a third baseman at 275 pounds.
Wow, you can now throw it a little, obviously, if you're playing third base.
So I'd have to hit the ball twice as far as Chris to run around the bases and get a home run. But I guarantee Chris couldn't bunt on me. I was just blessed with that. So hand-eye coordination.
Right.
And then I have to give credit to my O-lineman. Monday, you lift, you run, you watch tape.
Right.
The O-lineman, we used to stay after and have our fat man football game.
Oh, so you'd play a little backyard football.
So we'd split up, old guys against young guys. Max Montoya was our quarterback.
Right.
And Sam Weiss's office was right there. So we would toast the young guys, and Max would hit me for a few touchdowns. I think that had something to do with it.
He saw you. He goes, yeah, that guy
he
can
might
catch
have.
The ball
yeah,
a little bit.
He might
right.
have. Yeah, it was fun.
That's incredible.
Fun, yeah.
I'd love to, like, just, you know, your Super Bowl experiences, right?
Yeah.
I know you didn't win either one. You played the damn 49ers both times.
Yeah.
They were close football games.
Yeah.
Tell me, like, the difference in mindset between the first one as a young player and then the next one 7 years later.
Oh, it was definitely a different mindset.
Right.
You know, I get to the league. My rookie year, we're 6-10.
Right.
I could see the team getting better. New head coach, Forrest Gregg. Now, you have to understand, 10 losses in 1 year, that's 3-4 times more than I had 4 years at USC.
Oh, right. You guys were stacked. Like, you had an all-star team at USC.
So, but I could see the improvement. 6-10, we could have very easily been 10-6.
Right.
Next year, 12-4, home field advantage. My second year, and I'm thinking, man, I think we're going to be there a few times in a row. So we go and we lose the close one, the 49ers, Joe Montana, you know, the goal line stand.
Right.
And then, like you said, it's another 7-8 years until we get back. And I thought we had the talent to get back, but it just, you know, that's why I have so much respect for the teams that get back year after year. Buffalo, even though they didn't win one, 4 in a row.
Right. It's incredible.
Now you see what Kansas City's doing.
Right.
It's crazy.
It's insane.
But the top of them all, Brady and the Patriots.
It doesn't even make sense.
And then, of course, you know, I told myself, going to the second one, I'm going to take in more than I did that first one.
Yeah.
I really didn't take in as much.
Right.
Kind of hard when you're playing the AFC Championship game in 59 below.
Right.
And then you go to Pontiac, Michigan, right. and you can't leave the hotel room because of the weather.
Right.
Now you get the second one. You're going to Miami, 83 degrees. You know, you go fishing before you start preparing down there. You play a little golf.
Right.
So I wanted to take everything in, make sure that I remembered a lot more
yeah.
in the second one. But even after that second one, I thought, you know, with Boomer,
yeah,
James
sure.
Brooks,
you guys still had
Eddie
a
Brown,
real good
we were
team.
Loaded.
Right.
And, you know, we didn't get back. Yeah. So, but I'm thankful, even though we didn't win one, I had a chance to play in two of them.
Were you way more nervous in the first one, right? Like, my dad always speaks right. about how, like, in the Super Bowl, his Super Bowl, the first drive, like, everybody in the huddle was hyperventilating, yeah. right? I kind of told the story to Mike yesterday.
Yeah.
Did you notice, like, in the second Super Bowl, you're like, okay, I've been here, done that, as compared to maybe the first one where you were like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe I'm in the Super Bowl. Was there that feeling at all?
You know, I think personnel maybe brought on that hyperventilation. So yeah. my first one, they were in a 34 defense,
okay.
odd defense.
Right.
They had traded for Fred Dean.
Oh, player.
Who is their pass rush specialist
right.
coming from San Diego. I faced him my rookie year.
Yep.
For his size, speed, strength, I'm thinking this is not real.
Right.
So going into the game, we need to keep him in that odd defense. Keep him out of the nickel defense.
Gotcha.
Because Fred's going to be coming in.
Right.
We go out, first play, they're in the nickel defense.
Oh, they came
number 74,
right,
and I'm thinking,
like, oh,
okay.
No.
But, you know, it ended right away.
Okay.
You know, just the excitement. And for me, it was more adrenaline, excitement than it was nervous.
Right.
So I guess it was a combination of both.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
December 10, 1989, Cincinnati, Browns in town, snowballs start flying, and Sam Wyche grabs the microphone and ultimately says, you live in Cincinnati, you don't live
Cleveland.
In Cleveland. How
right.
do the players respond to that?
Well, first of all, the PA announcer roamed the sideline. And
that's
hilarious. By that time, you know, we just kind of, okay, what's Sam going to do this week? We saw him, and that, those were the days of somebody holding your wires.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
That,
you had somebody just following you around. Like
so he takes the headset off, he hands him all the wires, and we're like, okay, we're on the sideline. But what's going on?
Right.
He goes down the sideline, across the end line, and we keep watching. And then he grabs the mic, and we go, oh, my goodness. What's and that's when he said, you know, the next person that throws a snowball, turn him in. You don't live in Cleveland. And we're like, oh, my goodness. But that was classic. That was classic Sam. But let me tell you one thing. Genius offensive mind.
Yeah, right.
You can say whatever you want about him as a person, but I tell you what, those 8 years – I was at left tackle
yeah.
with Boomer and Sam.
Right.
We were doing things that
nobody was doing. I know.
Nobody.
The hurry-up offense. You guys kind of invented that.
But,
you know.
But it wasn't actually the hurry-up.
Right.
We called it the attack.
The attack.
We could hurry
attack,
up.
Attack, attack,
we
attack.
Could hold the defensive linemen in their stance as long as we wanted to.
Right.
We had, and you know terminology, we had every play coded
yeah.
four different ways.
Right.
I mean, so that meant you call one play with terminology four different ways.
Yeah.
We had plays, if we broke a play, we had solo, duo, and trio. Let's say we busted a 40-yard play, defense is a little discombobulated.
Yeah, right.
As we sprint to the line, Boomer's going, duo, duo, duo. That gave you formation, play, and snap count.
That's incredible.
Wow.
That's way ahead of its time. That's what teams are doing now.
Oh, I know.
Right? It's a Chip Kelly and all that, the coded
yeah.
words.
The
and
K-gun.
The K-gun.
It started after.
It started
yeah.
Jim Kelly, and then we're
yeah.
like, damn, that kind of works. That lefty,
so,
big blonde guy, let me copy that.
But with Sam, I mean, he was just like, okay, what's he going to do? But the guy was amazing offense. And with him, Boomer, Turk, Schoner.
Right.
Brilliant mind as our right. backup quarterback, and Bruce Coslett. Those guys just killed it. But, yeah, it was a lot of fun as an offensive player.
Give us one guy you played against who made you say, wow.
He was on the other side. And thank God I just saw him a few plays in the Pro Bowl. I would look at number 92,
yeah.
Reggie White,
right.
and say,
wow. Right.
He can take a 300-pound lineman and toss him around like he's throwing his kid in a
like
swimming pool.
Like a rag
pool.
Doll. I know.
Yeah.
Right.
I saw a lot of times I went, wow.
Yeah.
Between him and LT,
yeah.
I said a lot of – and your dad played with
– Yeah, I know. Well, I used to be, wow.
Yeah.
I hope 92 doesn't hurt my dad today a lot.
So LT and Reggie, wow.
Yeah.
Those are wows.
They were wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you just – with Reggie, you had to be a little more power – I guess, be worried about the power moves, the LT, you had to worry
worked.
About the pure
nothing
speed
worked with Reggie,
or whatever, right?
right?
See, that was a great thing about when I was playing. We
yeah.
had the power guys,
right.
but then you had the fast guys that would come in. I didn't see the same DE. I kind of like today. You know, I saw a 280-pound DE, but then, you know, Derek Thomas would come in at 235 and run like 4.2, and he could run around you.
And he'd get low as hell.
So you had to stay a little low, but you had to be able to maneuver and move out there in space. So, I mean, I loved that part of the game when I was playing.
How much better would you be if you were playing today and you could, like, hold all the time and they never call it?
Yeah, tell us. Like, what do you look at tackles right now? Like, do you go, like, wow, or what's your thought over it?
Well, first of all, I wouldn't have a weigh-in. So that would be sweet. That would be like, no surprise weigh-in, Sam. I'm 300 pounds, but don't worry about it.
Right, right.
I was 315 in college, and I felt great.
Right.
So I'd probably be a little bigger.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it would be like, okay, as long as you don't pull – okay, Chris is playing D across – as long as your shoulder pads don't come over your face mask, it's not holding. You know, I get confused. What's PI? What's passing the
field? I hear you.
What's holding?
It's all over the place right now.
So it's – you know –
How about letting the tackles off the line of scrimmage a hair before the snap like we've seen this year a lot?
Well, that's anticipation, Chris. Come on, that's not early.
He's defending his guys.
That's anticipation. But, no, it's, and I have great memories, and I'm sure we'll talk about it. But, you know, my thing here, so I just was over doing a panel with Deanna Flores.
Right.
Flag football quarterback from Mexico City, little bitty gal, and Marissa, who's, you know, the NFL. And, you know, for myself, being a Latino, being Hispanic background,
sure.
And really doing this panel with Toyota. You know, Toyota has been the official, you know, automotive partner for the NFL for a year.
Right.
And for them to team up and really allow families to come together and some great experiences. And for them to really promote this. And, you know, I've been doing stuff like this for years and years. Character camps for Hispanic kids in Mexico for 10 years in a row. 32 NFL cities up until COVID.
Right.
So to be able to be on that panel and just see the passion this young lady has. Playing your position, quarterback, flag football, and you know, being in the Super Bowl commercial.
It's amazing.
And then, of course, Marissa and her job at the NFL. You know, building the fandom, with the Latino community in the States and around the world. But that's something that I've always felt very proud of and have taken very seriously. Even though I was born here, I'm an American, but my culture, my grandparents, great-grandparents.
That's great what you're doing, man.
Brought the food, the parties, the, you know.
Right.
And I, you know, to see guys like Fred Warner and, you know, Pacheco and really continuing the legacy of.
Yeah.
And, you know, people talk about me being the trailblazer, and I had to add a little bit. I said, but remember, my rookie year was 1980. Think about the first Latino backup quarterback to win a Super Bowl. And the first Latino head coach to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah. Tom Flores.
Tom Flores.
Right.
I mean, that's kind of a trailblazer.
That is.
You know, with
incredible.
Jim Plunkett.
Right.
You know, Joe Capp with the Vikings. Guys I used to watch. So I don't know if you know this. I was a quarterback from 8 years old to eighth grade.
Well, I'm not shocked. When you told me you played third base, I was like, all right, Anthony's a little different athlete than I thought.
So my guys were Roman Gabriel.
Right, sure.
Lenny Dawson.
Okay.
And Bill Nelson.
Yeah.
Of course, Joe Capp. I want to be like those guys.
Yeah,
man.
Right.
But, so this has been fun for me to...
How'd you get steered away from it? You just got too big?
So I get flag football. I put the pads on as a freshman, about 6'2", 6'3", about 235. I come out with the two-bar. Freshman football.
Yeah,
first
like
time
Andy
with pads.
At the punt, pass, and kick competition.
So the coach says, okay, lineman over there, receivers. I go running over with the quarterbacks.
Right.
Coach looks at me and goes, you're not a quarterback.
Yeah.
I said, you see all those wide receivers? I've been throwing to them for years.
Right.
He says, you got to go and see Henry.
Yeah.
Henry was our equipment manager.
Right.
You got to change your face mask.
Right.
I was like, you've got to be kidding me. So now I'm trying to, first day of practice in pads, I'm trying to put my hand on the ground, get comfortable in a three-point, can't throw the football anymore. I said, well, I'll play this year, but baseball, I'm going to play varsity this year anyway.
Right.
Second day of camp as a lineman, started to get a lot of fun.
Right.
You have to understand, I'm 2 times as big as most of the
defensive
linemen.
Yeah, so you're killing people going, I like this.
So this coach, by my senior year, I'm 6'6", 300 pounds, and on my way to USC to play offensive line, I think back to my freshman coach, Roger Dunlap, and say, I guess I owe you a big thank you for moving me from quarterback to offensive line.
Who do you see playing today that when you see him, you think, that's me?
Well, I don't think I ever say that's me, but I said, man, this guy's pretty good. Trent Williams.
Oh,
this guy's
right.
pretty good.
Right.
Lane Johnson. This guy's pretty good.
Right.
You know, the kid.
They just jump out when you watch it.
Tenzel down in.
Tenzel. Houston, Texans.
Yeah,
right.
He's pretty good.
Yeah, no doubt.
But mainly Trent Williams. I said, he was 35 years old. He's pretty good.
He really good.
Seems like he's getting better. That's the thing.
Exactly.
I got one more for you. I know you got to go, and this is awesome what you're doing for Toyota and the Anthony Munoz Foundation. The 49ers, the second Super Bowl, right? you know, you were playing a team, it's a little like the Niners are playing this Chiefs team. They've won the Super Bowl. Yeah. They got this great quarterback. Everybody's like, oh, he's so clutch. When Montana had the ball at the end of the game, was there, like, did it feel inevitable? Did you go, oh, no, he's going to go down the field? Like, because I feel like we could be in that mode here in this game where the 49ers could be leading, and now Mahomes has got the ball, and they might be like, oh, gosh, he's got it. What was the feeling on the sideline?
It wasn't until they got close to midfield. At first, I said, our defense has been bending, but they've been playing. I mean, they've been getting a lot of yards.
They played great all day, right.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Rice was getting a bunch of catches, but hadn't, you know.
Right.
And I felt good about it.
Yeah.
But then they, if you remember, they had like a third and forever.
Right.
And Rice breaks the tackle.
He thought the in cut, and he broke a tackle and ran up the field.
And he gets like a yard more. That's when it kind of, oh, my goodness.
Oh, no, right.
But then they throw to a guy that didn't have a catch all game.
Right.
Taylor.
Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah. But, no, I felt good that we could stop him.
Okay.
But after that third and long, it was like,
oh, no.
Yeah.
Right.
That
we might be in trouble.
Yeah, that was like, I wish I had some Bruce Smith pass rushing ability to get in there and rush
help
a little
out.
Bit. Yeah.
The great Anthony Munoz, Hall of Famer, we appreciate very much your time. All the best to you. We'll be back with more PFT Live right after this.
Thank you.
You know, felt like the kid that didn't do anything in the class project but got an A.
I'm telling you, Peter, I'm sorry. I've never been that guy. I was the guy that was always doing all the work, and I didn't usually like the people that didn't do much and still got an A because of me.
You absolutely
of
have
course
been that
I
guy.
Have. Damn.
You've
every
been
class
the guy.
Project I ever was on, I was that guy.
You've been the guy that if there were, the group was bigger than two, they've eventually told you, just go ahead and go home, and we'll take care of it.
Because
you're getting
that.
In the way, because you're talking, and you're, hey, everybody, clunking heads together. And it's like, just go home.
I certainly
we'll
wasn't doing
it.
Any of the dirty work. I could have, like, brought the group together and be like, okay, wait, what are we going to do here? You guys got this figured out?
Tell all right,
me when
see
you need me again.
That was that great Josh Allen quote from during the season.
When
they had one of the few games, one of the only games of his career where he didn't have to do everything. Everybody else took care of things.
It's funny. I got in trouble at Texas my last year there because I would do a little of that, right? I didn't show up to every class. And at the end of the semester, I'd try to pile it in all together. Like the last 2 weeks, I'd be like, I'm going to try to catch up the whole semester right here, right? Mm. And I had usually...
The rest of us have nightmares about that.
I realize that
to this day.
So, right.
You lived
so
what
lived
the rest
it.
Of us have nightmares
I lived
about.
It. I would get a tutor through the football program. And then I usually had a friend... female or male in the class where I'd go, hey, like when we get towards the end of the semester, can you give me your notes, right? And I'll study your notes for the test. And I got accused for cheating on like a test that's like was like paragraph form answers, right? Because they thought my answers were too similar to another girl who sat like three seats away from me.
That there's no way you could have actually done this.
I couldn't. And I guess the language, but I was like, so they bring me in and they're like, we think you might have cheated on the test. And I was like, what? Like, how do you even cheat on a test like this? I don't understand. What are you trying to say to me? And I had to show them the girl's notes that she had given me and like be like, listen, these are the notes. I got everything from her. She taught me the class that had to take the test. So, I guess I did do a little bit of that.
All right. We have yet to cover the commissioner's press conference for Monday, which is exactly what they wanted. That's one of the reasons why they moved it to Monday, 3 o'clock local time, 2 hours before the start of opening night. You talk about opening night. You talk about the Chiefs, you talk about the 49ers, and then you talk about the commissioner's press conference.
Why would they want
later.
That, though? So then why even do it? Like, what's the point
of... I think that's the next step.
Right.
They just won't do it.
Right.
They won't do it. He's available every day to the media anyway, so why do a press conference at the Super Bowl? So anyway, I didn't get invited if you haven't heard. I don't know. Maybe you haven't
really?
Heard that. I don't know. Have you heard that? Are
yeah.
you aware of that? So
yeah.
anyway, Shireen was invited. Shireen
yeah.
was invited.
And what did she do? But she asked the question you wanted to be asked.
Yes,
so,
you have
good.
To be invited?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was invitation
not aware
only now.
I'm glad you
okay.
read ProFootballTalk.com.
I mean,
I only wrote
kind of
seven
things,
stories about it.
I don't
it.
Always read that type of stuff.
yeah.
So maybe I did miss that one. I usually hit
so
everything.
So anyway, it was invitation only to keep rabble rousers like me out. That's not their official excuse. What they said was, you haven't come in several years. I said, well... You do it while, you know, I'm on the air talking about your sport
right.
and promoting your sport.
Right, yes.
So there's kind of a conflict.
Yeah, right.
Now that it's at Monday at 3 o'clock local time, I can do it. And my my response to that, well, there was no response to that. Uh-huh. So yeah. easily could have rectified it. Regardless, Shireen attended.
Yes.
Shireen
and
asked the question.
You know what you did? You did the, won't someone rid me of this meddlesome question?
Exactly. And Shireen asked the question. And you get to hear it now along with the answer from Roger Goodell. Oh, wait, we don't hear the question. We just hear his answer. So let me make sure that you understand what the question is. Back in 2012, Roger Goodell said that if gambling is legalized, normal incidents of the game, such as bad snaps, penalties, fumbles, and other errors, will spark speculation, distrust, and allegations of point shaving or game fixing. The question was, are you aware of that happening now that we're 5 years into gambling, and what is the NFL doing to counter it? Here's his response.
Shireen, that's exactly what I was talking about before, is protecting the integrity of the game. Making sure that our fans understand that what they see out there does not have any undue influence. We have to educate our personnel. That goes from owners to players to coaches to everybody in the organization, to everyone at the league level, to our partners. Making sure that they understand, while people can speculate, people can have perceptions, we have to hold that standard as high as we possibly can. I haven't heard an awful lot of that, but you do hear. There are people out there that say those things, whether they're irresponsible or not. I think we've proven it in the way we enforce those rules. We have suspended a number of players for betting on the NFL or involvement with gambling activity. We have suspended a number of personnel, both at the club level and the league level, for the same. We've actually terminated employees. So we will do that, and we take this incredibly serious. So we understand the risk. We did not make the decision. Ultimately, the decision was a decision by the Supreme Court. They legalized sports betting. We have to adapt. We have to embrace it. We have been cautious. We have been very thoughtful, I think, in our approach. But we know the risk, and protecting the integrity is number one.
Okay, I have 2 points to make for now. One, okay. That's a great answer to the question.
Right.
If the comment he made in 2012 was, if gambling is legalized, it will pose a threat to the integrity of the game. What are you doing to protect the integrity of the game? What he's doing to protect the integrity of the game is completely irrelevant to his concern that the mere existence of legalized gambling will cause speculation, distrust, and allegations of game fixing based on the normal stuff that happens during a game.
Yeah.
Fumble, up, it's rigged. Bad call, up, it's rigged. It doesn't matter if you can say, well, hey, trust us, we have high integrity in our game, so you shouldn't think the fix is in.
Right.
They need to go farther than that. And the thing I've suggested, because somebody asked me earlier today, well, what should he say to this? What you should say to it is, look, we're going to make our we can control officiating. We can't control what the players or the teams do. They're accountable to the media all the time. We're going to be accountable to the media all the time. We're going to be fully transparent with our replay review function. We're going to have audio and video of the deliberations, so nothing is hidden. So people can't say, well, why did they make that decision? The fix must be in. We see them make the decision. We're going to have the referee of every game available to the press after the game to be questioned by reporters, to have that transparency. We're going to have a VP of officiating who is on TV, who does every interview that's requested, so that when there is a mistake, they acknowledge it and they explain it and they move on. When it's all hidden behind a curtain, that's when people think that bad stuff is happening.
Yeah,
and right now, everything is hidden behind a curtain.
Yeah.
That's what I want to hear from Roger Goodell or somebody else with the NFL.
You want more transparency?
I want some. I want any.
Any, right. I hear you there. Right. I mean, we've discussed this a lot.
I want more than just random drops of Walt Anderson into TV broadcasts.
Well, the other thing, with my challenge flag, too, is what I would do off of the comments, right, in my spidey senses, is Congress didn't go, hey, I got a good idea. Let's legalize gambling. They didn't do that. Like, it's hard for me to take that comment just as it is, because the NFL inched Congress towards that. Hey, it helped us. We can make more money. There's this whole avenue out there. There are billionaires who know all these congressmen. They helped move this thing this way. They can't just go, well, they made it and we had to evolve. No, you wanted to evolve because of the money, and that's what's surprising to me. They kind of wanted it, and yet they don't want to be transparent behind it all the way.
He said this to Mike Tirico before the regular season opener. Right. He said it again yesterday. The Supreme Court forced us to be in this space. It did not.
No,
they can still hate gambling as much now as they did before. As I've been saying, and it's been part of my shtick, and I think I drew your ire on the text chain when I first said it. Mustard is legal. I'm never eating mustard. You don't have to gamble. You don't have to embrace gambling. Yes. You can say and make it much easier for all of your people to understand we will never have anything to do with legalized gambling. It makes it much easier to have the rules explained, because right now it's convoluted. Well, if you're with one of the teams, you can't do this. If you're not with one of the teams, you can do this. If you're with the league office, you can't do that. You can't do anything because we are going to shun gambling. Right. Even if it's legal, we want nothing
Stop
to do with it.
Stop the stupid
they
guidelines
do that.
Of, like, if you're across the street, you can gamble. But if you walk over here, you're silly. Yeah,
exactly.
Can.
Yes,
right?
Exactly. But right. And I think, you know, where I would object to what he's saying is that you have to do X, Y, Z. Like, you don't have to do that. You know, you do not have to embrace gambling. You don't have to make it so that, you know, we see these slot machines that have NFL logos
right back
on
there.
Them. Exactly. In this
but
room.
But if you work for the league and you get within 5 feet of them, you will vaporize.
Right. Exactly. or if, you know, if you happen to be staying in Mandalay Bay and you got to get from, I don't know, where the Uber drops you off into the lobby, well, you got to walk through the casino. But that's okay because you're just walking through. The
don't
casino.
Stop.
Yeah.
Don't stop.
Don't stop. Don't ever look.
Don't tie your shoe.
You know, if you see somebody you know and they're at the craps table, you better not stop for them because I don't know what's going to happen there. There's a lot of this where it's just like it's too complicated. It's more complicated than it needs to be. And, you know, I don't really know what the solution is. Yeah, you can have, let's say, okay, let's be more transparent with it. And that's one thing that can make you say, all right, you know, this is not something that's fixed. But at the same time, Mike, I mean, when we look at, like, society today.
Well, right.
Yeah,
you know,
nothing, no answer is going to be
thank you.
To fulfill people.
It's not. Like, if people think things are fixed, they're just going to think they're fixed.
Right.
You know, it is what it is.
But that's all the more reason to have the transparency, I think.
I agree with you that there should be the transparency, yes. But at the end of the day.
But you're saying it's not going to quiet everybody out there. Still gonna,
it's
not. I hear you there. You're right.
It's not even going to quiet him.
Yeah. No, you're right. It's not going to quiet him.
You want me on that wall. You need me on that wall.
I know this is a movie.
We got
but
so
I
much more we could talk about.
Is.
It was not made in the 80s, so you
I
should
know.
Be aware of A Few Good Men with Jack Nicholson. I thought you watched that one. You were going to watch that one. Anyway, we have a whole thing about him not watching any movies from the 80s when he wasn't even born, which is very depressing. Let's put this one in very quickly. Roger Goodell was asked whether or not we will see a streaming-only Super Bowl at any point in the future. Here's his response.
Certainly not in my time. I still believe, and even on some of the pay services, listen, one of the secrets of our success is we are really committed to broadcast television. As I said, 90% of our games are on broadcast and free over-the-air television. I think it's the reason why you will see over 200 million people watch this game here in the United States, because it's on broadcast television and the broadest possible platform.
It's funny that he said, certainly not in my lifetime. It would have been easier for him to say, it's never happening. We are never going to have a streaming-only Super Bowl. He didn't rule that out.
No.
And look, there may be a day when TV as we know it is gone, and
I
it's the only way you
true.
Can broadcast
right.
a Super Bowl.
Right.
I mean, that's coming sooner than later.
Definitely.
Right? I mean, it's not like people watch things over the air on broadcast television, except for football. That's what people watch.
That's about it.
Yeah.
I mean, you go to an age group under 30 years old, like, they're not watching. Network TV is not a thing anymore. It's not. So
but
it is going to go
the numbers
way.
Are bigger. They
the
stream
numbers
the Peacock
are bigger.
Game.
You're right.
Yeah.
And,
right. It's
and
going
the other
in the
playoff
right direction.
Numbers are bigger.
Like, yeah, right. Like, I mean, if he lives a long time, I would go, no, I'm sorry. It's going to happen.
I think he means in his time.
When Amazon writes a check that says, what, how many zeros are on there? Okay, yes, you can stream it on there for the Super Bowl.
The two concerns are, at some point you jeopardize your broadcast antitrust exemption, and you also don't get 110, 120 million people all simultaneously tuning in. Or maybe you do. Amazon this year did a good job of getting a lot of people, 23 million watched the Peacock-only playoff game. So anyway, we need to take a break.
Okay.
He's here. He's in the house.
He's
squinting at his phone. He's going to be up here with his record.
Damn, he's just kicking you off the show because he can't wait to talk to Mad Dog.
I can talk to Miles anytime, like any of the days you choose not to work.
Right.
So, Mad Dog, we don't get Mad Dog very often.
So you get to talk to him more.
Mad Dog, Chris Mad Dog Russo next year on PFT Live.
Next week, you can talk to him more.
Around any corner, within every battle, and with the dawn of each new day, the threat of the unexpected, the unpredictable, and the unrelenting lies in wait. But Marines will always be there. They are the constant in the chaos. No matter the battlefield, Marines adapt to win, defeating every shifting threat, protecting our nation's future. The few, the proud, the Marines.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
I'm ready to go!
Streaming now only on Peacock. Five rich and famous international soccer stars. They have everything except love.
I think girls in the past have gone for me because of what I've got.
That's why we're going undercover.
We're setting them up with single American women.
They don't know we are famous. They don't know we are rich.
And they'll have to hide their true identity.
What do you need for work?
I'm an ad salesman.
Oh, God. What am I doing?
Love Undercover. New series streaming now only on Peacock.
Wow. 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 I got the record and fact book of 2023. And Roger signed it. My God. I got the record and fact book. Remember, nobody gets this. Florio's off the list of that on him. Forget Peter King.
Nicely produced.
That's funny.
That's very well done. Very well done. Did you get it this year?
I sure did.
Man,
I didn't
know
he still made it. He didn't sign it. But I do
you
have
You are some ass kisser to get that.
I love that. As a matter of fact, they got two guys in the NFL. They sent me two because they don't know that each sent me
they
one.
Each
so I get two.
Oh, wow. So you can send me one of them.
Yeah.
I don't even use it anymore. I've told you that before. I don't use it, so I don't ask for it. I get everything I need online.
I love the damn thing. The old-time records, you know, I break down to 57 Browns and everything else. Right. I love it. I go through the whole thing. I enjoy it. Great to be here with the two power guys.
Look forward to it every year. Chris Mad Dog Russo from SiriusXM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. We're on SiriusXM every day as well in the morning,
you guys
7
are,
to 9 a.m. Eastern.
Yeah.
Today, no, not 7 to 9 Eastern.
No,
people keep asking
that.
Me, why is your show not on 7 to 9? Because it would be 4 a.m. in Las
Vegas. You can't
Vegas,
do it. Too early in the morning.
So, all right. I know you like to gamble.
Yeah, yep.
The two things I've learned about. I knew you liked to gamble before you started going on with Stephen A. and all that.
I get
that
your father involved with the picks.
Yeah, well,
getting
I remember
them going.
You asked me one time before a game. You were like, hey, who do you like today? And I steered you the right way, I think, that day.
And I want the scores with you guys making these predictions on NBC. Give me the scores because that covers up at the line.
We do the score. If you're chewing too many gummies at that
you're
point,
right.
And
you don't see
it straight.
And nobody took Miami against the Chiefs, and I decided to take Miami, so that was a bad loss that day.
Bad loss.
On a cold day in Kansas City.
I'm a fellow, I like to dive into the THC world, all right? I'm a smoker, though. Right, I smoke. When did you become a gummy guy?
I went to a boarding school, Christopher, in 1974.
The 70s, gotcha.
In upstate New York.
Right.
Darrow School, New Lebanon. And, you know, we had co-ed. We had 135 kids. It was in the woods, 11 miles from Pittsfield, Mass.
Right.
And my father went there in 50 and 51.
Wow.
It's an old Shaker school. So that is where
it started.
On Saturday nights when it was
then,
15 below zero, but they were the real things.
Yeah, the
then.
Real things, right.
That is where we went out there. Matter of fact, I hate to say this. Yeah. Can I say this on TV?
You can say whatever you want here.
On a day in 1970. I would say it was in 76.
Right.
I was not one of them.
Right.
This is about, you know, 5 years after the 60s.
Okay.
You know, half the campus tripped on LSD.
Whoa.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah, I never messed with that. That is heavy. That's a whole new ballgame right there.
Why didn't you?
Because that's a little wacky. I don't want to look at wires and all that. But I shouldn't even have said that to you guys. But I had.
I appreciate
your
honesty, though.
I loved the place.
Thank you.
There for 4 years.
Somebody came up with this question. It wasn't me, but I love it. If your career was a Springsteen song, what song would it be?
That's a good one. How about No Surrender?
I like it.
You know, I don't surrender to anything. Yeah, I go out there, I kill it. Even your old man I get on sometimes.
Yeah, no,
you know,
he didn't talk
to me for a long time
he
back
got
in
mad
here.
At you?
Oh, yeah. But we're buddies now.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, when he was a player and he had his kids playing and everything else.
Right.
No surrender, though, Michael, is a good one.
I like that.
What would
like
you
that.
Do? Would you say something about me or my dad?
I probably said, Phil's not Chris is not that good. he screwed up the game and he took me for money because he loved you. He loves your boy so much.
He didn't talk
to me for such a long period of time.
Right.
And I got one right now who's coaching Northern Arizona, as you know, the basketball. So if they say something bad about him, I'm gonna kill him too and not talk for a long time as well.
You're funny. All right, so I saw you with your little conversation a little bit on ESPN getting to like the quarterback goat thing and all of that.
Right.
I don't know if I didn't get to hear it.
Well, here is the simple one with that.
Give it to it.
If I had a game to win for my life.
Right.
All right? For my life. Does it make easy? You know, career-wise, the numbers aren't quite there yet. I would take Mahomes.
Yeah. Okay.
If I had a game to win, I mean, he's played one bad half.
Yeah.
I'm going to give him a break on the Tampa Super Bowl because the offensive line was a mess.
And his toe was messed up.
And Reed was all messed up with his father, with the son, and the crash.
Right.
So I'm going to give him a little break on that. The second half against the Bengals, he was bad in the game.
Right.
We'll give him that. You remember the game that they had a bad
21-3.
Oh, it was terrible.
Right.
That's the only time. So in other words, he's 14-3 in postseason. He's had one bad half.
Yeah.
And he's you know what he's great at? He's great at winning the game for you if he has to, and then he can manage the game well for you against the Ravens if he has to.
Exactly.
So I would take him. Obviously, I don't think he's going to get to 7 Super Bowls. So when people look at the number, they're going to go with number 7 and Brady as a result. I think Montana gets a little shortchanged. 4-0 in Super Bowls.
Right.
11 touchdowns and not one pick.
Yeah.
And 3-time MVP.
Right.
Rice won the and the year that he didn't win the Super Bowl, Rice won it.
Back late.
There you go, Chris.
Yeah.
He went down the field and hit the ball to John Taylor for crying out loud.
I hear you.
I think he's a little underrated, but for a game for my life, I would take Mahomes.
Why don't you think Mahomes is gonna catch Brady? I think he will.
7 is a lot. He's got 2 now, he's got 5 to get. I mean, I guess he could. You know, I mean, it's not impossible. Right?
He's only going to get better. We were talking about this earlier.
It's going to be tough, though.
As he gets older, his brain is going to expand even more.
That's
fair.
He's going to be a little more
sharper.
Not
be surprised by anything. He's going to be able to make the reads faster, get rid of the ball. He's not going to have to run around all over the place. He's only going
to
get better.
The bigger thing to me is, will they keep up with him, right? That's what Brady had the luxury of. Right, they went through 2 different eras and went, okay, we won 3 Super Bowls, we lost 1. All right, now we got to retool the team completely. And they got it back to a capacity of now, hey, Brady, if you play well, we can win more Super Bowls.
Yeah, exactly.
Can the Chiefs maintain that? Can they build a team here for the future for 5-6 years from now where Mahomes is what you say, but the team is still able to help him and be around it? He could take advantage of all his tools at the time. That'll be a big part
and
of his
team. And will Reed stay? A lot of people think he might leave.
Right.
I don't know.
He was
Peter says
with
he
it
won't.
A little.
Right. The Chiefs have the possibility on their radar screen, and not just because he's 65.
Right.
They think there's a chance that he goes. They're aware of it. They're planning for the eventuality.
Who would be if he did decide to leave? Who would be the coach? Somebody from in-staff?
Well, Mike and I know a little bit, like, there was some reaching out last year because they saw this on their radar a little bit, right?
Oh,
we're not
really?
Going to get too much into specifics. I don't want to burn Mike or myself here. But,
But I think that if it would happen, in theory, if it happens this time, you're going to have a groundswell like the Raiders had with players wanting Antonio Pierce. You're
going to
have players who want Eric Bieniemy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm not sure if I go there.
Yeah.
I mean, he killed Sam Howell.
Yeah. Well,
and your father says that to me all the time. 57 pass attempts.
Right.
Never rushed the ball. All these sacks.
Yeah.
He did not like the way they killed the poor kid.
Right.
Never gave him a chance.
Yeah.
So, and he gets fired. I did not like the Dan Quinn hire.
Of course not.
You mean to tell me that Washington, who wanted Johnson for whatever the reason, they had a defensive coach. Quinn blew a 28-9 lead.
28-3.
In the fourth quarter, 28-9. And then, of course, the defense against San Francisco.
48 points.
I mean, terrible. And now Dan Quinn is going to be your coach.
I said all this yesterday.
I don't understand it. This is ridiculous.
The greatest thing he ever did was hire Kyle Shanahan as an offensive coordinator. Right?
Exactly. I mean, that's a good point.
The team fell apart right from there.
He inherited Matt Ryan. Right. He inherited
Dimitroff and build a team that was ready. Yeah. I mean, we're with you. We were disappointed. It feels like the third choice.
And Cliff Kingsbury.
I'm
all right with that, man. Why didn't Ben Johnson want the job?
I don't know.
They must
this
have paid
for
him.
Sure. I think it, you know what I've gotten the feel in league circles, and I don't have this answer yet. But I feel like the structure wasn't exactly what he was looking for.
And he wants full control.
Well,
then?
He wants maybe a little bit more say in the matter.
Because the GM from the Niners is going to do all the work.
He's going to take over.
Right.
Wow. So maybe
he's
doesn't
a really
like
good
that.
Coach, and he's like, well, I only got one shot here, and I don't like the way this recipe is developing
here. Interesting.
And I think that was also what I've been led to believe was part of the reason he asked for a big contract. Was because it was like, I told Mike this the other day.
I want protection if I can.
I don't know if I really love this job, so if you pay me this, I'll do it.
I love it.
But I'm not going to do it for less than that.
I love the job, though. I think the owner's good. I mean, he's got a good reputation. They got the second pick in a draft. It's a great division. It's a great historical division.
It is. There's a lot of love there.
I mean, it's not Carolina. I would think he would do it.
There's a lot of work, right?
Oh, there's a lot of work. Team stinks.
Yeah. Team stinks. Stadium stinks, right?
They're going to get a new
one.
Yeah. There you go. The stadium's terrible.
Pipe busts.
But there's a couple of bad stadiums. That's one of them.
There's always a risk, too, Mad Dog, when the window's open and you don't go through it.
Who knows?
There's no guarantee the window's going to be open next year.
I agree.
Maybe for Ben Johnson it will be. Maybe the Lions will be just as good. But, you know, Bobby Slowick, the Texans' offensive coordinator, could be the hot young offensive candidate next year and eclipse him. So who knows? It's not like you're ever going to have your choice of any and all jobs. There's only so many of them. And the job's open for a reason.
Yeah.
Good jobs and good teams don't come open very often.
And I think Belichick will coach again, too. I do. And I think Vrabel will coach again.
Agreed.
I'm not sure about Pete Carroll.
Right. No, I think you're right about that. And, gosh, if Andy did step away, I would think Vrabel or somebody like that could be at the top of the list for Kansas City, too. He certainly would be one of my top choices.
So, Bieniemy. I didn't realize
that. Yeah, we'll see. I know. That's Mike has that feeling. All right, but I want to get into some other fun stuff with you, Mr. Record and Fact Book.
Yes,
let's see how good you are.
Oh, I'm good at it. Go ahead. I'm good at the history. Go ahead.
Who? What's the longest touchdown pass in Super Bowl history?
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to take a guess. I don't think it's the answer. Is it the Jim Plunkett, Kenny King one?
No, that's a pretty good one. Nope, but there's one other. I'll lead you down. It was the Patriots were in this football game.
Oh, was it to Desmond Howard from Favre?
Nope, that was nope. It's going to be.
That was a long one, too.
That's Patriots.
Oh, it's Patriots, Green Bay. Patriots won the game?
Right. This is the Patriots were in the game, and they did win this game.
Okay, because they were in the game against Green Bay in 96.
I know, 96. You weren't wrong there. I hear you.
Let's see. Yeah. So that means
I know. It's the quarterback that slips people's Super Bowl history mind.
Muhammad.
Muhammad, exactly right.
85 yards,
that was a very good game.
Right? It was a great game. I was there.
And he played great in that game alone.
It was very low scoring. Or scoreless for the first half.
6-3, and all of a sudden exploded.
32-29,
and then
crazy
one wardrobe malfunction later, and all hell breaks loose out in the field.
Right. That's a good question.
That was a good one?
Yes,
all right,
very
I got
good.
Another one along those lines.
Go ahead, let me
longest touchdown run in Super Bowl history. It's not Marcus Allen running into the night.
Against Washington, when he had the great run, 83.
Right, longest Super Bowl run.
Right, undrafted player.
It's another guy.
Is it Tim Smith?
No. That's a good guess. Washington could have won the MVP.
Denver. He had a guy 22 yards rushing.
236, I believe.
236. Right. Well, you guys are good.
Well, yeah. I'm like you in this department. Right.
Wow.
North Carolina.
He played for Pittsburgh.
I'm not going to know.
It's Willie Parker.
Yes. Parker. Against Seattle.
Bad job by you.
That's a tough one.
Bad job by you.
That's a bad job.
Bad job by you.
Bad job. That's a good one. Bad. You know what I found was interesting? Is that when San Francisco lost to Detroit in 57, the halftime score in the Lions came back was 24-7, and the Lions won.
Oh, isn't that
and
crazy?
And this year, it was the others 24-7
right.
Detroit. And San Francisco came back to when I found that pretty
interesting. That was ironic.
Too.
It was.
And Campbell still bothers me. Kick the field goals.
Of course.
Especially the first one.
The first one. Make it a three-score game.
Oh, what are you doing, Dan?
Why is that even a debate?
And
you make it a three-score game.
And then he sits there and he runs the ball on second down at the one-yard line.
Yeah, right.
And
waste the
timeout.
Oh, it was, they should be here.
Should be there.
They outplayed the Niners.
Who's the guest, the one guest you haven't had on that you want to have on before you call it quits?
Historically, in all sports?
Anytime. And that you can get now.
Joe DiMaggio.
Joe D.
No, Willie Mays.
That would be a get.
Right.
That's a good one. You know, this is a strange answer.
Yeah.
I have never had him, and you guys both know how much I love the coaches.
Yeah.
And I've asked for him forever, Nick Saban.
Wow.
Wow.
And you would think he'd be an easy get.
Yeah, why wouldn't he do
it? I cannot get him.
Wow. Damn.
You know, whether he knows me. And I want Nick Saban where not 8 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, I want to talk about Kent State when he was at Kent State with the shootings.
Yep, want to unpack it a little bit.
There you go. Yeah. I you know, working with Belichick in Cleveland.
Right.
Why he went to Miami. And
right.
He'd be a great spot.
I hear you.
And I have never been able to get him.
Right. He grew up 20 minutes away. His dad had a gas station. Got a lot of his work ethic from his dad. His dad is very hard-charging.
So
coached
it makes
his football
sense
team.
Now why you can't get him. He's a jerk from West Virginia like this guy.
I didn't know this fall out the gas station. Yeah. No, that's an easy one. You figure I could get Nick Saban. That's that's one I would love to get on. Let's see.
Well, he has time now.
I should be able to get him, wouldn't you think?
I would think so.
Crying out loud, I should be able to get him. But he's one I always think about.
Where are you going to watch the game Sunday?
I am going to, you know, I'm an empty nester now.
Okay.
So it's just going to be my wife and I.
Okay.
So I'm going to take her to a place this week to make some of those prop bets.
Right.
Because I made two prop bets. You want to hear them quickly?
Yes, okay, I do.
Last week.
Right.
What a lucky one. 16 and a half yards over in the first game. Who do you think it was?
What, a scramble by Mahomes? Or
no, 16 and a half yards receiving over.
On the over in the first game?
Marquez Valdes-Scantling.
Oh, yeah.
Last play of the game.
Yeah.
Here's the other one.
Right.
And I got a break.
Right.
I took Goff over completions.
Yeah.
It was 23 and a half. He got to 15. He was at 15 last drive. So I actually needed the Niners
to
score the touchdown,
yeah,
not the field goal. Because they score the touchdown, they play their prevent defense,
right,
and I have a lot of short passes, and he had 10 completions
that's
on the last
amazing
drive. So I got it.
Great.
I got
great
it, baby!
Well, last week.
There's Mad Dog Russo. What do you got? Sirius XM.
Okay,
go ahead. Go ahead.
I was going to say, what do we got going for the Super Bowl?
Well, I haven't looked at the props yet.
What's the over-under on gummies for the Super Bowl? That's
real I will take one before the game. That pregame is
right,
a long. Your father be bored stiff. That's a long pregame.
So you'll take one.
I'll take a half of one there, maybe one, and then the other half when they kick
when they kick off.
Okay. Yeah, I'll be into it. You know, it's a long way, though, from Friday night
right
to Sunday at 5:30, 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
That is a long
don't peak
wait
too early
for getting to those games.
We're going
to
do LSD.
Right.
Don't
do
you that do the gummy, we'll do LSD.
Who are you taking in the game? You're going
Kansas
Chiefs
City.
All right.
I had him against Buffalo.
Yeah.
I had him against the Ravens.
Okay.
I'm not betting against Mahomes under
right
any circumstances.
Absolutely
yeah
right. That's the way to go. Chris, Mad Dog Russo, SiriusXM, Mad Dog
both
Radio. Thank you so much.
Good job, Chris.
Great seeing you as always.
Mr. Florio, we know we love you.
All right.
Good job.
We'll be right back. More PFT Live right after this.
Your father is the best guest in the history of this show. He came on to the Super Bowl, and he turned into Don Rickles, and he just roasted me for 5 minutes.
Yeah,
did
exactly
I not say anything nice about him? Just ripped his ass the whole time?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
How can he improve as a host?
Quit
that. Yes, yes.
Did you wear that jacket in high school?
I could have, yes. Why?
I'm just wondering. Can you ask me a damn good question? Just at least act like a reporter for a second.
We've turned Phil Simms into Jeffrey Ross. We're just roasting everybody. This is amazing.
This is what I always do.
That's Phil Simms with Kevin Clark. Back when you were doing the Slow News Day podcast
for
the New York Times.
You got
now
the wrath of the big effer there.
Yeah.
I did not see that coming.
You did that, well,
did
that,
not,
that's him
we were
right there.
Talk. We were talking, it was same game, 4 years ago, obviously. It was the first version of this rematch. And I didn't know what he was going to be like. And I've never forgotten it. The best guest still in the history of our show.
Oh, that's nice of you to say. Yeah, Big Phil's got a little bit more. You know, I think a lot of people grew up or watched him with, you know, Jim Nance, and they think, oh, he's calling the game so professionally.
Of course.
But, you know, I didn't learn all these swear words and all these things I talk by myself. I learned them from the big effort. And, he could talk crap with the best of them.
All right, Kevin Clark hosts This Is Football on ESPN. First year in the books now. It's amazing how fast time flies. I mean, you were just with the Ringer, and now, boom, it goes by. How fast, how fun, what's it been like working at ESPN?
It's been amazing. It's been a dream job. The people at Omaha Productions and ESPN are, like, incredible. And the support they've given and, you know, working with Peyton and Eli and just having them in the orbit, like, no one understands quarterbacks better, like, maybe ever than Peyton Manning. And having him as a resource when needed is incredible. Like, we had him on a couple weeks ago. Hey, let's just go through the quarterbacks in the playoffs and, like, who's better than that?
Right.
And so it's been a dream. But as you said, the season goes by so quickly. I feel like it's still September. You know, I look at the schedule and I was like, where the heck did this go?
Do you have his number in your phone? Can you text him right now if you want to?
I have his email address.
Okay. Well, that's
he emailed me
that's
when I took
good
the job, a very warm note, and that's culture. That is culture.
Hey, well, you're the man. I mean, you really are. I mean, you're incredibly talented. I think people like talking to you. You know the game. You're clued in a lot, right? I want to kind of hit on one of the things you've been hitting on a little bit. the Mahomes legacy, right? We got all these guys that I think we agree, you probably agree, and go, there's these AFC quarterbacks that are superstars. Like, you know, Super Bowl winning superstar quarterbacks, and yet they can't get there because of this damn guy wearing 1-5 in red. So let me hear it.
The one thing the MJ era means when we say he's in the Michael Jordan era is absolutely legendary players. The performances that get them to legend status, those guys are relegated to minor characters.
Right.
That's what MJ era means. That means Karl Malone.
Yeah.
That means Sean Kemp and Gary Payton.
Right.
That means the Magic with Shaq and Penny.
Charles Barkley.
Charles Barkley. Right. My hometown team, the Magic, they just couldn't get there. Hakeem won only because MJ left the league for 2 years.
Right.
So you have to understand that there are great players like Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen. I mean, Joe Burrow got him once at one point. But they're going to either be – some of them will end up being ringless. And, the way I put it is in 20 years, they're all going to be wearing gold jackets. And those guys are going to come up to Patrick Mahomes and say, man, I wish you were never born, which is the best compliment you can give a legendary quarterback.
Right.
Or athlete, for that matter.
Right.
And I'm glad you're putting it that way because one of the things I've been saying, Kevin, we all want to witness history. Sure. We need to realize we are. And I'd like to think people are coming around to the idea. Instead of being upset about the Chiefs and about Mahomes and about this and about that, there's nothing you can do about it. I said after the AFC Championship, if you don't like what you're seeing here from the Chiefs, you better just stop watching football for the next 10 years because it's not going to change. This guy's only going to get better as he gets more experienced, he gets smarter, he gets wiser, he gets more adept. And
or if you're a quarterback, do something about it.
Yeah, and I just think we all should just enjoy the ride. There's nothing we can do about it. Just enjoy the ride.
And everybody says they want parody until they see parody. They want to see greatness.
I do.
What's funny is I remember there's an old line in sitcom writing from like the 50s where they say, a story on TV is just get a character in hot water and then he gets out of it in the last 5 minutes. Yeah. That's Mahomes. He goes down double digits. It's not like he's either winning every game by 50 points. He has that incredible record in the fourth quarter when down two scores. He has more wins in those situations than some franchises do in their entire history.
Yep.
He is a miracle worker. I think the best thing you can say about him is he makes miracles look easy. After that Houston game a few years ago where they had to erase that huge lead, it looked normal. It didn't look like 28-3 where everything was frantic and pressed. It's just he just goes about it. And I had Mitchell Schwartz on my podcast last week, and he said that the thing about Mahomes, it's not like he's giving some varsity blues speech on the sidelines saying, hey, 15 minutes for the rest of our lives. No, he's saying, hey, guys, I know we're good. Let's just keep executing.
Yeah,
I think Todd Monken can learn something from that. Lamar Jackson can learn something from that. When you're talking about what happens when the panic button should be pressed but doesn't get pressed because you know you have the capability to win, that's Mahomes. It's ruthlessness. It's execution. There's an old Bill Walsh line where he said there's no such thing as rising to the occasion. That doesn't really happen.
Yeah.
What happens is you execute normally when everybody else loses their heads.
Right.
That's Mahomes. That's Andy Reid.
That's a great way to put it. We got to take a break. More with Kevin Clark when PFT Live continues right after this. There are the head coaches who have been hired in this cycle that is now concluded, unless and until there are more vacancies, but there likely won't be at this point. Kevin Clark of ESPN's This Is Football is with us.
I like Kevin Clark's old school look, right? How he's dressed here. To me, he's like one of those guys that's like, hey, sport, hey, champ, let me get a question for you.
But it goes next level when you keep the button undone and pull the tie down, because that is the, I just got home from a long day from work, please give me a drink, and when's dinner going to be ready?
Yeah. I remember a reply, because I did a bunch of shows from here, Radio Row, a couple years ago, and someone replied and said, you always at these shows, Radio Row, look like a grizzled cop who's just been demoted. Just been not to do office work, no paperwork, I'm behind the desk, all that stuff. But that's the look. Just looser tie, stubble, the whole thing.
We showed the list of head coaching hires up there. The head coach hire you like the most is which one?
Wow. I mean, it's so context-based. I love the Dave Canales thing, only because it's simple. Best reclamation project for a quarterback this year was Baker Mayfield. Bryce Young needs to be that next year for the Panthers to do anything. Obviously, I think I've had people say that it's not a next year thing for Bryce Young. It's a 2 years from now thing. It's a 3 years from now thing. It's about building up his confidence, keeping him upright. I don't think I saw a stat the other day. He's the 38th best quarterback by EPA per play last year. He's not the 38th most talented quarterback in football. You're going to be able to see a rise as long as the offense is simplified, as long as you get better pieces around there. I really like that. Jim Harbaugh to me is the one.
That's the one you like the most, or
yes,
yeah.
They're going to win a Super Bowl.
Right.
They're going to win a Super Bowl.
Oh, wow.
They're going to take their medicine.
Yeah.
cap-wise for the next, let's say, 2 years. I talked to some cap people at Radio Row today talking about that. They can. You know, we saw this with the Brandon Bean Bills, where they just took a ton of dead cap in 1 year. We saw that with the Chris Greer Dolphins when they started their rebuild a couple of years ago. You're going to be able to really eat some huge contracts, which I don't think people are necessarily prepared for, bigger names.
Right.
But Justin Herbert with Jim Harbaugh. We don't anticipate, like, that Niners roster that he took over when they went to the NFC Championship game the first year. It's not like anybody was like, this is a sleeping giant. Nobody was talking about that team. He maximized that roster. And we look back on it now and we say, oh, Alex Smith was on that team. Justin Smith was on that team. No, Jim Harbaugh made that team what it was. We look back on that roster as talented because Jim Harbaugh put it all together.
Yeah, he used them the right way.
Yes,
played
it's
right
all
way.
Retro.
Right.
He's going to immediately maximize that roster. Right. So they're going to win immediately, and then in 3 to 4 years, I think they make a Super Bowl and they win one within five. That's my prediction.
All right.
Well, I don't disagree with that. Even though they have to deal with Patrick Mahomes, Harbaugh has shown he can coach and succeed
everywhere.
At every level he goes to. He thought he was getting the Vikings job a couple of years ago, and somebody at this desk was kind of hoping that he had, but it didn't happen. Which head coaching hire do you like the least?
Wow. Dan Quinn. I don't know.
Poor Dan Quinn. Does anybody like that Dan Quinn was hired by the Commanders?
So.
I don't think Dan Quinn likes that he was hired by the Commanders.
Yeah, I was going to say, does Josh Harris like it? It's hard because I don't know. If the job is to coach the team, and I had a couple people say to me on Washington radio that they wanted to be the Adam Peters show, I understand that. But Bill Belichick is the best coach of all time, not the best GM of all time. You call Bill Belichick and you say, hey, Adam Peters is going to give you 53 guys, make 46 active, and then maximize that roster, build a game plan every single week. That's what you're going to do best. Coach ball. Go back to what you used to be able to do. If he doesn't want to do it, fine, move on. Does Pete Carroll want to do it? Does Mike Vrabel want to do it? Does somebody want to do it and just say, you know what, we want to be Adam Peters led, but let's have the best coach every single week. Someone's going to take that job. And so I was disappointed. I felt like they settled a little bit. And I just don't understand why you wouldn't try to get Bill Belichick in the building as something when he's available.
I don't even think they got into real conversations with him. From everything I know, I told Mike that the other day. I mean, it might have been a reach-out call.
Yeah.
I think to your point, too, a little bit, where they're like, you know, you got to put yourself in Bill Belichick's shoes. He's like, wait, you want me to listen to the guy who worked for me 20 years ago to learn how to do the job he's doing? Right? So that's, I can understand that, but I'm with you. The Dan Quinn thing is, it does not motivate me.
No.
I don't really love the Cliff Kingsbury hire off of that. I'm not a fan, you've heard me say this before, of interdivision hirings.
Yeah.
Oh, now the Cowboys get to play against a coach where they go, I know how he makes the rest, you know, the meal every week. I know what he's going to do when we motion this. We practice against him every day. I am not a fan of that by any stretch of the imagination, let alone, I think it's questionable whether he should have got that job anyways. I don't get it. It is. It's underwhelming.
The other thing is, Josh Harris had the easiest job in the world, in the literal world last year, which was not be Dan Snyder. And I think that there's a honeymoon period, obviously, but I think it's over now because I think Commanders fans are looking at this and saying, okay, this looks like you bungled it a little bit. You know, there's the reports that Ben Johnson thought they were basketball guys, which obviously, you know, Bob Myers is there. Josh Harris obviously has a background in other sports. I understand sort of that default. I think Commanders fans are getting a little bit of here we go again in their heads. And I think the easiest thing to do was to give Commanders fans something they could hold on to. They're going to have a quarterback. They're going to have something to go to. I thought the Cliff Kingsbury hire was uninspiring again. You should be able to sell, if you're the Commanders, have the offensive side of the ball with a great young quarterback and be this year's Bobby Slowick and just have C.J. Stroud. And he's already Slowick's already a candidate for head coaching jobs.
Yep.
I just don't understand why you couldn't get a better O.C. than Cliff Kingsbury for that role. Yeah.
Excellent stuff.
Yep.
He's Kevin Clark from
ESPN. He
is. This is Football, a podcast on which Chris has been a guest, but I have not.
Well, he wants to keep that as his podcast.
That'll change.
That is fine. Off of it.
That will be fine. We'll be back with more right after this.
He's a smart man.
Oh, it's happening. Tomorrow at 5 p.m. Pacific time, a live audience at the Sportsbook at Mandalay Bay, the Joint Megapicks podcast, Chris Sims Unbuttoned, PFTPM.
We will be there. We're going to have fun. I think we probably should have a drink.
I'll have a drink.
All right. We're going to do that. We're going to take questions. We want the audience to be involved. Throw, you know, blurt out stuff. If you want to yell, Florio's a jerk, we encourage it. But then I think after, we need to do dinner.
Now, I got a problem. What? I'm going to see you two after.
Oh, crap. I want to go dominate the craps tables again.
Well, you two's not until 8 o'clock. We did dominate the craps tables, by the way, last night. I've got the evidence of it.
I've never seen it. Have I lost it yet? I'm so excited about getting $200
And
extra.
I got the big bills on the outside. Oh, there it goes. Fumble. I got the big bills on the outside this time. That was so much fun last night.
It was a lot of fun.
I got the bug. I'm ready to go back.
We did.
I got the itch.
I hear you. Our man James.
JK was rolling them.
The guy on the left was on fire for a minute.
JK was rolling and winners after winners after winners.
I'm there sitting there going, why wasn't I riding the wave harder? All right? I'm going, damn, I made some money and I should have rode it harder. My man was hot right there.
It was fun.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Hot-handed a dice game.
Doubled
James
my money.
Kaminsky.
My gambling budget is considerably higher than it was yesterday because I brought a certain amount of money to gamble with, and that's it.
Yeah.
And when it's gone, it's gone.
It's gone.
Now I got twice as much
Pete
as I have.
Pete just wants – he goes, are you allowed to take photos in a casino? Pete, you can do anything in this casino. Let me just tell you. Anything. Almost anything. You drink, smoke, whatever.
Somebody had their vape pen last night. I don't know who.
And, you know, it ended up in my hand. I don't know how it got there.
I don't know how it got there. I want to get a cigar
and
go in there. I want to get a cowboy hat. I want to get a cigar. I want to get some boots.
In the building? What's going on?
Get some whiskey. Yeah. Off we go. Enjoy your Tuesday. See you tomorrow morning or afternoon or whatever the hell it is.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet. Well, then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.